chapter number 9. I lied to my Sunday school class and told them I was going to get them out of here early. Thank you, choir. Have some good singing, amen. And I appreciate y'all getting here early and getting that together for us, Brother Jake, and having that ready and being flexible when we don't always do things like we write down on paper. And I feel like that's a detriment to churches. I preached in a church one time, and it was Calvary Baptist Church in Augusta. Me and my wife went over there to preach, and they had a whole list. I mean, they had it down to the minute of what I was supposed to do, when I was supposed to say it. And I remember looking at my wife, and I was younger. I said, exactly where does the Holy Ghost get to come into all of this? And my wife, I'll never forget it, she circled sermon. She said, that's the only chance he's got in this place. And I'll never forget that. And sometimes we can get so much into a routine that we push God right out of a service. And I'm thankful that you allow that to happen here as far as us changing things up. And we try to allow the Holy Spirit the liberty to move and also the liberty to work. And so thank you for that. All right, in 2 Samuel chapter number 9, if you're there, I want you to say amen. All right, I'm going to begin reading. I'm going to read the whole chapter. All right, is everybody okay? All right, that's 13 verses, all right? So we're going to read the whole chapter. I think once I begin reading it, you'll realize how familiar you are with this passage of Scripture, all right? In 2 Samuel chapter number 9, the Bible says, "And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant, whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir and the son of Amiel from Lodabar. They just had to put them words all the way back in there to make me go through that, all right? Verse number 6. Now, when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, I'm going to cuss. Y'all laugh like y'all wouldn't. Some of y'all's already cussed, all right? And he answered, behold, thy servant. David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth said, or had rather, a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning. Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture, God, may we get a heavenly view this morning. Lord, may we hear from you this morning. In all of this, Lord, may you be honored and glorified. Lord, I pray that you'd fill this place with the Holy Spirit today. Convict our hearts, Lord. Move us, Lord, to repentance. Move us, Lord, to yield to you, surrender to you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. How many of you know the story? I told you, you get familiar with it, all right? Now, that ain't but five people that raise their hands, so the rest of you, I'm going to give you just a little bit of context here as we go along. As we look at this, this is, at this point in time, Saul and his son Jonathan have died, all right? And David is now king. David is king over all of Israel. The kingdom is united. David is king over all of Israel, and at this time, David remembers a covenant that he had made with Jonathan. That covenant concerned Jonathan's family, and Jonathan, the Bible says about Jonathan and David that Jonathan loved David as he loved his own soul. And here, the passage of Scripture, we'll look at it. I don't want to get too much on top of myself here and my sermon. But David remembered the covenant that was made with Jonathan. And he reaches out to make good on that covenant. Now, David did not know of any children that Jonathan or Saul may have had that was left from that dynasty, and so he inquires about it. And he is told by one of Saul's servants that there was a son. His name was Mephibosheth, and he was living in a place called Lodabar. Lodabar, when you look it up in your Bible, Lodabar, it literally means no pasture. It was a place of no pasture. It was a place of, it was like to a wasteland. In other words, there wasn't anything that was fruitful there. There wasn't anything that would show life there necessarily. It was a place, a wasteland. It was a place that people went, let me say it this way, and were forgotten. Everybody all right? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place where you feel like you've been forgotten? I remember, and y'all know the story of when I was in Bible college. I remember going up there, leaving everything that we had, and moving up to South Carolina to go to Bible college, and feeling as if the Lord had abandoned me. Feeling as if everybody, how many of you know you got all kind of friends until you need something? I need somebody to help me. Now, I'm saying this because I'm fixing to build a house, and all you suckers said, I'll help you any way I can. Is everybody all right? I just want to remind everybody, you will become a part of a sermon. If I call up on you and say, hey, I need you to do this, you'll be like, I would, but you know how it goes. Don't act like, is everybody all right? Yeah. You ought to see the ones that they ducking down. They're like, Is he talking about me? I'm just throwing it out there, just kind of testing the water right now with that bait. I'm just saying it might come back. Y'all listen now. So it's a place, though, as I mentioned in my illustration, that you feel forgotten. It's a place that you're put in. I can say this. I believe that there's a lot of folks that are in the church but living in Lodabar. I really do. I think there's a lot of Christians that are living in Lodabar. They seem to be put aside. And the devil's good. I need somebody to help me right here. The devil's good at getting up on our shoulder and saying, God don't care nothing about you. The devil's good about getting up on your shoulder and telling you that everybody's talking about you. devil's good about making you think that everybody is against you. And here, Mephibosheth is living in Lodabar. Just a little bit of background on Mephibosheth. He is a rightful heir to the throne of Israel. Now, we know that God anointed David, and so that throne was David's, but I want you to know this was the grandson of Saul. And back in those days, when a dynasty changed, they killed off the family members of the previous dynasty to avoid an uprising in the future. So the fact that any of Saul's kindred was alive was nothing more than the grace of God. Because David would have been justified. David wouldn't even have been looked at sideways had he gone in and killed everybody from Saul's family. Because the last thing you want in a kingdom is to have somebody that has a claim to the throne come and challenge the king, especially if you're the king. I need somebody to say amen. And so Mephibosheth, though he was the rightful, or though he did have a claim, I won't say he was the rightful, let me change my word. He had a claim to the throne. He was living in Lodabar. There's a lot of Christians that got a claim, not necessarily to the throne, but to the palace and to the king, that are living in Lodabar. A place of no pasture. A place where, if you will, a wasteland. Maybe, I noticed with Mephibosheth, the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter number 4, and in verse number 4, the Bible tells us the story of Mephibosheth and why he was lame. The Bible tells us in chapter number 4 of 2 Samuel in verse number 4 that on the night that Saul and Jonathan died and it was announced, the nurse for Mephibosheth, he was 5 years old, the nurse grabbed him up in haste and was running out of the palace because she knew that it was a possibility of him being killed. And she dropped him. And the Bible says that because she dropped him, he was lame on both his feet. At the time, they didn't have the medical facilities or the knowledge to deal with such a injury. And so the Bible tells us that he was lame on his feet the rest of his life. So here, if you will, I want you to notice about being in Lodabar, he wasn't there by his own choosing. I think that a lot of folks are living in Lodabar, they're living in a wasted area, they're living in a place of no pasture, and it's not because of something that they did. Somebody else has done something to them. Maybe they were well-meaning and they didn't mean to hurt them, but they hurt them, and they're living in Lodabar. They're living in a place where there's no fruit. They're living in a place, one definition for Lodabar was no bread. A place where it's barren, a place where it's lifeless. How many of you know we preached a sermon? I preached a sermon here not long ago on living. But you remember, alive but not living? Being alive but not living. And many people are still in that place with Lodabar. As we look at this morning, I want to challenge everybody in the building, whether you're Christian or whether you knew it this and you're not a Christian, I want to challenge every single one of us that you and I can come out of Lodabar. You and I don't have to stay in a wasteland. You and I don't have to stay in a place of no bread. You and I don't have to stay in a place of no pasture. You and I don't have to stay in a place that is forgotten. Amen. But you and I, amen, you and I have a kinship. If you say we got a kinship, we got a kinship with the king. We don't have to live in Lodabar. We're going to look at this morning, if you will, just for a few moments, and I'll get you out of here. But I believe every one of us should come out of Lodabar. because of the following benefits. I start off with the context of the scripture. I think I've already mentioned that. But in the context, we've already gone over his pedigree, so I won't take time to go over his pedigree, but we see that he is a son of the king. Not the king, but Jonathan. Jonathan being the son of Saul. But we see the pedigree of this young Mephibosheth. He is and has a claim to the throne. We see his tragedy. He was dropped, not of his own doing. He was living in a place called Lodabar, but it wasn't because he chose to be there. I can't put this out there enough. It wasn't his decision to go to Lodabar. Matter of fact, it wasn't his decision that cost him the use of his legs. But here he is, not able to walk, and here he is, taken to Lodabar and left for somebody else to take care of. Now, I ain't gonna lie to y'all, I kind of got a little upset about this thing. Here the nurse, she had the responsibility of this young child. She drops him, she hurts him, and then she drops him off at somebody else's house for them to take care of him. Now, we know this is beyond, he's up in years because the Bible tells us here that he had a son. So he's grown, he's a grown man at this time, but it started off, it wasn't none of his doing. It wasn't him that broke them legs. How many of you know you can get real sideways with your situation? Let me put it to you like this. You can start blaming everything else for your situation. That'll get you in a place called Lodabar. When we start talking about, well, that nurse, if she hadn't have dropped me, I wouldn't be in the position that I'm in. Hey, if my daddy hadn't have died fighting in that battle, then I wouldn't be in this place. If my grandpa hadn't passed, I wouldn't be in this place. And we look at, if the doctors were better, I wouldn't be in this place. If the facilities was better, I wouldn't be in this place. We can go through all kind of things and play the blame game all we want to, but the fact of the matter is that when you're living in Lodabar, you are there Not because of your own doing, but oftentimes you're there because somebody else has stuck you there to be forgotten. We see the tragedy of his life. I say this, there's a lot of Christians, a lot of people that are living in Lodabar. We see the reality. The reality was he wasn't getting out of Lodabar. He wasn't getting out of Lodabar until somebody come and got him. We're going to get there, I promise you. Y'all got to stay with me. We're just giving some facts about things that are going on right now. We're fixing to get to the spiritual aspect of it. But see, you'll remain in Lodabar on your own power for the rest of your life if you'll allow it. But I want to say there's a king. Amen. Who made a covenant, who ain't forgot, who sends somebody for you, and it bring you out. Somebody say amen. We see the context. Number two, we see the compassion. We see the compassion. We see the context of the scripture is that Lodabar is a waste area. We see the context of the scripture, Mephibosheth is there, not of his own choosing or not of his own doing. But I want you to notice with me, if you will, the compassion in the story here. The Bible says that the king sought how he may show kindness. That word kindness, by the way, you'll never guess what that word means. It means grace. He wasn't looking to show kindness as far as a reward or a merit for something done. He was showing grace. And David said, "Is there anyone of the house of Saul that I may show kindness?" An enemy, if you will. An enemy to the throne that David now sat on. And David is trying to find a way to show grace or to show kindness. We see the compassion. We see the compassion because there was a custom that he would kill him. We see the compassion in the covenant that was made. We see the compassion in the calling of Mephibosheth. As we look at this morning, this is, if anything, this is what I want you to get a hold of. David, the king, had compassion on Mephibosheth, but he didn't know Mephibosheth. He had to ask, is there anyone of the house of Saul that I can show kindness to? He didn't even know that Mephibosheth existed. But the kindness that he was willing to show was not because of a relationship he had with Mephibosheth. It was because of a relationship that he had with his father, Jonathan. See, the reason that Mephibosheth was extended this love and this compassion is because there was a covenant made with Jonathan. Over in, let's see here, 1 Samuel chapter number 20, and in verse number 20, I think, somewhere over in there, a covenant is made between David and Jonathan. That covenant goes through Scripture. It's mentioned three times in Scripture that David and Jonathan made a covenant with one another. I've taught y'all in covenants that when a covenant is made, somebody help me right here, a covenant is a covenant. You don't break those. Back in biblical time, we break stuff all the time. We tell somebody, hey, we're going to do this, and then we don't do it. But back in biblical times, you didn't do that. A matter of fact, when they made a covenant, they would take animals and they would cut them animals in two, and they would vow a vow to the Lord that if I break this covenant, do unto me as these animals that are cut in two. It was a serious deal. It wasn't nothing to be laughed at or be joked about. And so David made this covenant with Jonathan, and now David is repaying this covenant. He's repaying his vows. He's saying, I will do what I said I'll do, not because of Mephibosheth, but because of Jonathan. Not because of Mephibosheth, but because of Jonathan, I am going to show kindness and I am going to show grace. Everybody with me? Now here's the spiritual aspect to all of this. I'll give you the third point and then I'll get to it. Is everybody with me? All right, the compensation. We see the context, we see the compassion, we see the compensation. The Bible tells us that there was a change in residence. The Bible tells us that from this point on, in chapter number 9, that verse number 7, David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. You go on down in verse number 11, at the end of verse number 11, as for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. The Bible tells us in verse number 13, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. He had a change of residence for both himself and for his family. But then I notice this, he had a change in relationship. The Bible says in verse number 11, as for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Is everybody all right? All right, let's talk about this. We look at this Mephibosheth and we see a man that's lame on both his feet. Not because of anything that he had done. He was stuck in a place, probably feeling forgotten, scared to death to come to the king. Because coming to the king in his condition meant that he would die. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you, spiritually, every single one of us, no matter who you are, no matter what color you are, whether you're a man or a woman, every single one of us was born a sinner. We can relate to this man that is lame on both his feet, can't get up and leave Lodabar unless somebody comes and gets him. We find that there is a king in the story. His name in the story is David. But I'm thankful today that you and I have the King of Kings. We're not just talking about a man that's going to die just like you and I are. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords showing compassion on you and I for the condition that we're in and sending somebody down to Lodabar to bring us out of a place with no bread, a place of no pasture, a place where we were forgotten. He sent Ziba in the story, but God sends a Holy Ghost for you and I. He sends a Holy Ghost to come to us and say, hey, the king has use for you. The king wants you in the palace. The king wants a relationship with you. And old Mephibosheth, he comes to the king. The Bible says that he fell down on his face before the king. And he says, oh king, I ain't even worthy of being in your presence. Listen, don't miss this. And the king said, son, I ain't doing this for you. Did y'all miss that? Did y'all miss that? Somebody miss that. Hey, he said, I ain't doing this for you. He said, I'm doing this for Jonathan's sake. Did y'all miss that? Yeah, did y'all see that in the Bible? He said, son, Mephibosheth, I don't even know who you are. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to find somebody spiritual at some point in this thing. He says, hey, I don't even know who you are. Hey, I'm not doing it for your benefit. I'm not doing it for your sake. It is your benefit, but I'm not doing it for your sake. He said specifically, I'm doing this for Jonathan's sake. Because you see, the covenant that the king made was with Jonathan. It was with Jonathan. And because of the relationship Mephibosheth had with Jonathan, he got the benefits of that covenant. Is everybody all right? Is everybody okay? So, God made a covenant. Matter of fact, in Luke chapter number 22, you up there, Miss Carrie, can you get us to Luke chapter number 22 and verse number 20, I think it is. Luke chapter number 22. And in verse number 20, Jesus talks about this covenant. All right? We're going to look at it, and then we'll go to Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 15. But Luke chapter number 22, and in verse number 20, familiar. Likewise, also the cup after supper. We do this when we do the Lord's Supper here. He says, saying, this is who's speaking? This is Jesus. I took y'all here because it was Jesus. I knew if I went to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, Sheldon, they'd say it was Paul that said it. But Paul didn't say this. See, this was Jesus speaking. Is everybody with me? And he says, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. You see that word New Testament? You see Testament there? Let me tell you what that word means. Covenant. That word, when you pull it out in the Greek, it is translated, that same word, diethi, is translated covenant more than it is testament. That word right there, Jesus said this. This cup is the new covenant. There was a covenant made between God and Jesus. There was a covenant. His blood, according to this passage of scripture, according to this verse, it was his blood. How about Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 15? Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 15. This blood was a new covenant. When Jesus died on that cross, a new covenant, a new testament came. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the new testament or the new covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. What that verse is saying is that Jesus was the mediator of the new covenant between him and God. And everybody that is called from that through him is entered into that same covenant. And the promise of eternal inheritance exists because of a covenant that God made with his son. The king made with Jesus. And you and I are the beneficiaries of that covenant. I mean, y'all, hey, listen, I can prove it. Y'all say, well, God knows who I am. Do you know what the Bible says about those? Jesus, what did Jesus say about those that come to him that were lost in the end? Depart from me. Come on, say it with me louder. Depart from me. I never knew you. So how does he know us? Through his son. Listen here. It ain't my sake. It ain't for my sake God's doing this. He's doing it for his son. It ain't because of nothing I did that God's done this. I don't get to sit at the king's table because of who I am. I don't get to sit at the king's table because of what I've done. I get to sit at the king's table because of what his son done for me. He is the new covenant. He is the reason that I can be in relationship with God. Now, what does that mean for the Christian? I like this. Is everybody all right? Everybody sitting at that table, they all had their little peculiarities. They all had their peculiarities. They were different. We know Mephibosheth couldn't walk, but David's sons could walk. Is everybody all right? But they was all considered sons of the king. We ain't all the same. Some of you are messed up. Amen. I'm going to need an amen. Amen. Some of y'all are messed up bad. I better just walk away from that. I'm thinking I'm fixing to get myself in trouble. And I prayed and said, God, don't let me say anything I shouldn't say, so I'm going to walk away from it, all right? But there's a lot of us that are messed up.
Yes, sir. That's right.
But we're still sons of the king. Listen to me. Listen. This is something that helped me. Maybe it'll help you. The Bible says that Mephibosheth, he didn't receive no miracle. He was still lame on his feet. Hey, he was still lame on his feet. In other words, he still couldn't do for himself. David, the king, made sure to provide for him. Are y'all hearing me? Listen here. We need not think that we got it all together once we get saved. Because we still just as lame and as broken as we were when we started off in this thing. Hey, God's put people in our life, servants. And I don't take that the wrong way. God's put people in our life to be a blessing to us, to watch after us. I like it. We call them servants, members of Calvary Baptist Church. God's just put us in a place where every Sunday and every Wednesday, I get to come sit at the table. Is everybody all right? I get to come sit at the table. Like everybody else, I get to come up here. I get to sit at a table just like you. Things, unholy things in the church.
get to pull up a chair at the king's table. And no matter how broken my legs are, I look like everybody else. I need somebody to help me. No matter how broken I am, I look like everybody else at the king's table. No matter how bad my life may be messed up, I'm just like everybody else at the king's table. At the king's table, I ain't set over there. Is everybody all right? I didn't get thrown over there in the handicap section. At the king's table, I didn't get thrown over there with all the cousins. Y'all know the cousins. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You get invited to go over to the family reunion, all the cousins eat out there under the pecan tree, right? I didn't get thrown out there with the cousins, according to the Bible. I'm a son. And when I sit down at the table with the king, just like everybody else, I may have my problems, but just like everybody else, listen to me, as a Christian this morning, you don't have to stay in Lodabar. God will pull you out. God will send the Holy Ghost for you. Just as David sent Ziba to go get Mephibosheth. As a lost person, if you're sitting in this church this morning, I want you to listen to me real good. Everybody, listen right here. If you were to die at this very moment where you're sitting at, do you know where you'd spend eternity? See, that's a question we've all got to answer at some point in our lives. I answered that question back September 28, 1997. Sitting in a church just like you. There, not because I wanted to be there, but there because my wife said I had to be there. The Holy Spirit dealing with my heart. Me knowing that if I died, I'd go to hell. And that day, the king brought me out of Lodabar. That day, the king brought me to his table. And he'll do the same for you. Say, preacher, I don't know that you can know that you're going to heaven. Well, the Bible says that you can know. And that's the only authority I have. Now, I ain't got no authority from somebody that's preaching down the street or somebody that's... What authority I do have, is the word of God. And according to the word of God, these things have I written unto you, John said, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life.
Yes, sir.
See, because the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 9. God don't want you to die and go to hell. And he's made a way through a covenant with his son. And though he may not know you right now, he knows him real well. And for his sake, he'll join you into his family. Not because of what you... It wasn't because of what Mephibosheth could bring to the table. I will say it over here because I liked it. It's not because of what Mephibosheth... He didn't get to sit at the table because of what Mephibosheth could bring to the table. Mephibosheth got to sit at the table because of what Jonathan brought to the table. Head's bowed with me. She's moving to the piano this morning. I want you to get real serious about your life right now. If you were to die right this moment where you're sitting at, where would you spend eternity? Say, preacher, I'm not sure where I'd go. I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven or hell. Hey, listen, I want to help you. If that's you this morning, listen. Preacher, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. If that's you this morning, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look right up at me. I'm still right down at the front. Just look at me. I'm not going to send anybody to you, point you out. Is there anybody in the building that'd be honest with the preacher? I don't want to leave you in Lodabar. I don't want to leave you in a place where you're not known. Maybe you'd be honest with me. Anybody be honest with the preacher? I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity, preacher, if I was to die. Is there anybody like that? Anybody in the balcony? Christians, I don't see anybody look up. Maybe this morning's for us. Maybe this morning you've allowed your thoughts to put you in a place called Lodabar. Maybe you're feeling forgotten. Maybe you're feeling as if God's just put you to the side. Maybe this message this morning, the Holy Ghost spoke to you. He said, come sit at the table. King wants you. The King wants to have a relationship with you. The King wants to spend every day with you. Oh, I need somebody to help me right here. He wants to spend every day with you. Fellowship with you. Eat with you. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for the relationship, God, that you have extended to me, not because of who I am, not because of what I've done, but because of whose I am. Lord, your Son came and died for me. Saved me from my sins so that I too could sit at the table as a son, joint heir, son of the King. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we not forget it. Lord, I pray that every day we'd take advantage of that privilege of having a relationship with you. God, for the one that may be lost in this building, Lord, I pray that you continue to work on their hearts. Lord, I pray that they'll be saved before it's too late. God, I thank you for church this morning. Thank you for Sunday school. Lord, I pray that you bless us and bring us back safely tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.